Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Follow us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your shows. Well, you guys, I'm really excited about today's interview. I know I say that a lot, but I'm really particular about who I bring on, like actually. So this is why I'm always excited when I get to introduce you to one of my friends and a colleague in the wellness space. This is Kristen Blake, and she actually, her and I teamed up a few years back when I was putting together one of my first programs. She was in the midst of putting together one of her programs to help people heal. And we just connected, and I love her heart for helping women heal. She's just so good at what she does. She speaks in such a manner that like anybody can understand. In fact, I didn't tell you this, Kristen, but I was thinking about this the other day. I saw one of your Instagram posts. You guys have to follow her on Instagram. We'll link that below. But I thought you are like the ChatGPT for me. Like when I am like, I need to understand mitochondria, I'll go to ChatGPT and say like, teach me like I'm 10. And I'll explain it. And I feel like that's why I really appreciate your information. It's because you're like the, it's digestible, it's understandable. I don't have to ChatGPT it. You're like that person already. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. I try to simplify the complex.
That's important because then it makes it doable, right?
Yeah,
I think one of the best things. So I invited Kristen on today because I really want to focus this month on gut health. And, you know, when we're talking about either preventing cancer or healing through cancer, or recovering from, you know, that 80 to 90% of the immune system is in the gut. Our mitochondria, which are responsible, a very responsible part of our immune system, is incredibly active and supposedly destroying cancer cells if it's healthy. And so gut health is essential. But something that I asked her to speak to is the idea of leaky gut. And most of you have probably heard that term. It's been thrown around maybe by a natural practitioner. You've heard it in a Facebook group or a friend or whatever it is. But I asked her to speak to this because of the importance of healing this in order to truly have good gut health. So Kristen, thank you for being on. Thanks for being my ChatGPT and sharing with my audience.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I would love to, before we get into kind of the nitty gritty, I just always like our audience to hear a little bit about your story. And so before we jump into you explaining what is leaky gut, how does it work? Will you give us just why did you step into this this field of helping people heal? And I know your specialty is really, a lot of it is gut health.
Yeah. So like many practitioners today, I have the wounded healer story where I was really sick for a really long time and no one knew what was wrong with me. And I had fevers and rashes. I was passing out. I was in and out of the ER and they just kept saying, well, I don't know. You just seem like you get sick a lot and it's just another virus, and just kept being explained away. And I just sort of started to believe that this, it was what it was. There was nothing I could do about it. This was just the way I was made. And then I started having kids and they started getting sick too. And they had allergies and eczema and asthma. And something inside of me just screamed, no, no, I'm not accepting that for them. I could have accepted it for myself, but absolutely not for them. So that's when I started diving deeper into research. Instead of just accepting what I was told, I tried to figure it out on my own. I went on PubMed. I started reading clinical journals, and this was having no background in the medical care realm at all. I just started trying to teach myself, figuring it out. And through that, I kind of uncovered the world of functional medicine and holistic healing and integrative health. Around the same time, because this is just how God works, my husband was playing for the Lakers and they hired a nutritionist who was also a doctor trained in biochemical, biomedical engineering. She was a super brilliant doctor. They had hired her to kind of overhaul the health of the team. And my husband had a potentially career-ending injury that he was able to completely resolve using nutrition that this doctor taught us. And that's when I really, like, all these worlds collided all at once. My eyes were really open to, oh my gosh, all this stuff I've been learning about and digging into, this is real. And this has the power to heal and power to change us. And my husband's health was transformed. I started feeling better. My kids started feeling better just by making some dietary changes. So that really fueled me to keep going and really dive in. Long story short, I ended up having undiagnosed chronic Lyme disease and SIBO and mast cell activation syndrome, multiple chemical sensitivities, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and more. And every like group of letters you could have, I ended up finally being diagnosed with once I kind of figured out what was going on and was able to overcome all of that and heal from all of that. And that's what led me to where I am today, because I'm so passionate about women not just accepting you have to feel terrible. It just is what it is. You have to deal with it. I have women that come to work with me that are going through menopause and their doctors have told them, yeah, it's just going to be miserable. It's what menopause is. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. It does not have to be miserable. You can fix this. You can balance your hormones. You can fix your gut. You can fix your nutrition. You don't have to accept feeling absolutely terrible for you, for your kids, for anyone. So I'm super passionate about empowering people with information, teaching them about root cause healing so that they can figure out what is going on and how can they overcome it in a really strategic and smart way, instead of just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks, figuring out what is going on and how can we fix this?
Wow. I love that. I love that you also, it's a bad thing, I think, for moms that we kind of like, we'll figure it out. We'll just work through this. And we don't need to worry about our health until our kids come and play. And then we're like, oh my gosh, we'll do anything for them. Right. Yeah. But I love that part of the story. And Dr. Kate Shanahan, if I'm not mistaken, was the doctor that came on, and she has one of my favorite books about epigenetics. What's the name of it?
I was trying to remember. Deep Nutrition.
Oh my gosh.
I love that book. So good.
Oh, I've read it, I think, 3 times now. I need to read it again this year, actually.
Yeah. It's dense. Yeah. you're going to have to keep rereading it to remember it all.
Yes, to digest it. One of the things this year I wrote down that I want to work on is comprehension. I've realized, like, I read a lot, I learn a lot, but I need better comprehension especially those kinds of books.
Yeah.
But that's incredible that you guys had the opportunity to work with this world-renowned doctor, who's
amazing.
She's changed the trajectory of a lot of people's lives with teaching them about the environment and the nutrition. And you basically have the opportunity to, for free, not really for free, but to study under her.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's amazing.
So when you got all of these diagnoses and you started to kind of realize, like, oh my gosh, what was the first thing you changed?
Nutrition was the first thing, because Dr. Kate helped us with that. And I'd say removing gluten was one of the very first things. Removing sugar was the next thing. Then reducing dairy. So we just started kind of scaffolding in these nutrition changes. So that was definitely the first. And then from there, it really snowballed, because I was feeling better enough after those changes to be able to go deeper. So then I was able to work on my sleep and my stress and my gut and my hormones, but nutrition came first. And I think it should for everyone. I think nutrition should come first. And then gut health is my first thing that comes right after that, because I think you said this on your podcast the other day, Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut. And I do believe that to be true. The gut health is so important for your overall health.
It's so true. It's like, I was just saying this to somebody. It's, you know, you're building a house right now, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but it's like building a house. And you're so excited to put the trim in and the pretty lights and the chandeliers, but you don't even pay attention to this, the quality of the foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's like trying to get healthy without addressing your nutrition and your gut. Like they go hand in hand to be the solid foundation of the rest of your health. And you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet. You can't exercise your way out of a bad diet, right? Like it's so foundational. So when we think of the gut, and specifically, this is what I'm told, I'm sure you hear this often too, but Susan, like this is from a good portion of people we work with, but Susan, I eat really healthy. Like I feel like I eat well, but I have all these issues. And I'm assuming you hear the same. And one of the things that you and I've learned is that has to do with poor digestion, but even more can be something that we look at called leaky gut.
Yes.
So will you explain what is leaky gut?
Yep. Love this. So I want you to picture your gut lining like a brick wall with one thin single layer of bricks. That's it. That is what is separating you, and by you, I mean your immune system and all that comes with that. That's what's separating you from everything that comes through your body, food, bacteria, chemicals, whatever it is that you're ingesting, that's keeping them separate. And that's the way it should be if we have a healthy gut. And we should be able to absorb the nutrients, most in the small intestines, that the rest of them are absorbed in the large, and the bacteria should live in the large, and that's where they're going to ferment it and break it down. And that's the way that it should be. But this often does not go that way. As you alluded to, we have poor digestion, absorption, and leaky gut. So what happens with leaky gut is that one of those bricks is either missing or the mortar is missing between the bricks. So we have this opening there. And when we have an opening, the food particles that are flying through and whatever else is flying through comes into contact with your immune system. And again, that's not the way our bodies were designed. It is supposed to be sealed off, and these food particles should not be getting through. When they do, the body thinks it's a foreign invader. And so it makes a little sign and it passes it out to all of its little soldier friends, and it says, attack this. So every time we see beef or broccoli or whatever, we are going to attack it. And it knows exactly what the molecules look like. Everyone's on high alert. So every time you eat that food, you're going to have a food sensitivity reaction. And there's a difference between food allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances. But what I'm going to mainly focus on his sensitivities, because that's the most prevalent thing we're going to experience with leaky gut. And that is going to produce so many symptoms, and so many symptoms that people don't recognize are connected to leaky gut as well, because it can take up to 5 days to experience a food sensitivity symptom. So think about how many different foods you eat over the course of 5 days, and then you get a headache, or you feel kind of anxious, or your heart is beating a little fast, or you don't sleep well that night, or you have a tummy ache, or you get a little rash, or you have eczema. You're going to have no idea what's causing that, because you've eaten 42 different foods over the course of 5 days. So food sensitivities can be a really big problem, because it's hard to pinpoint, it's hard to figure out. And then you end up with just all of these different symptoms, and you just don't feel good, and you don't know why. So when we have that opening in the intestines, that leaky gut, we're just overexposing our immune system to these things that it's then going to create an antibody towards, and it's going to just go on this attack, and it's going to attack everything. And then that's where we end up with these symptoms, is this whole like attack that's going on in there.
So when you talk about the food sensitivities, this is, I think it's so important to understand, because so many people just want to go get an allergy test, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to get an allergy test and it'll show me. But correct me if I'm wrong in this description. If you have leaky gut and you go in for an allergy test, you're going to have, like you just explained, the 42 different foods that you, like a handful of those 42 foods you just ate over the course of 5 days, will likely show up as a sensitivity because it's in your bloodstream, not because you're sensitive to that food, but because your gut is leaking it out of where it should be. Is that correct?
Yes. And the allergy test, if you go to an allergy doctor, those are looking at the IgG antibodies, and that is going to miss so much because the sensitivities are IgG antibodies. So when you go to an allergy doctor, if, whether you have a blood test or the skin prick, they're both generally going to be looking at IgE antibodies, and it's going to miss so much. You might be allergic to 3 foods, but you might be sensitive to 97 foods. And so you walk out of the office with this false sense of security of, oh, well, I'm allergic to hazelnuts and almonds, so I'll just stop eating those and all my problems will go away. And then none of your problems go away because you didn't pick up on any of these sensitivities that you had, because that's not what the allergy doctor is looking for. They're looking for those IgE allergies. They're making sure you don't have anaphylaxis allergies. Do you need an EpiPen? Things like that. So that's the big difference between the allergies and the sensitivities, and how you can kind of miss a lot if you're just doing your conventional over-the-counter allergy test. Like Everlywell, a lot of people come to me with that and they are super frustrated because they're like, I thought I had food allergies and I did this Everlywell test and it didn't work for me. It did nothing. And I'm like, well, that's because you missed this whole other arm of your immune system with all the IgGs and it didn't look at those.
So would you recommend a specific, and I'm sure in working with you, we'll talk a little bit about that at the end, like the ways that you can support people, a specific allergy test? Is that something that they can do at home, something they can order, or would they need to order it through a practitioner like you?
Yeah, good question. I think the really good tests you have to get through a practitioner. The one that I use, there's two that I use that I like the most. One is called an ALCAT, and I believe that is not direct to consumer. And then the other is by a company called Infinite Allergy Labs, and I believe that's not direct to consumer either. So those are ones that we order for our clients when we work with them, and they are going to be looking at all of the different arms of the immune system. So the Infinite Allergy Labs, for example, it looks at your IgG, like I mentioned. It looks at IgG4, which is actually something that shows up if your immune system's trying to block an allergy for you. And that is the same pathway that gets triggered with like sublingual immunotherapy, if you've ever heard of that, or like allergy shots. And then it also shows IgE, so it is going to show the true allergies. And then we also get this other bar that shows up on there looking at complement proteins. That's a whole nother part of your immune system. And if your complement proteins light up, that actually amplifies your IgG response 10,000 times. So if I see somebody come back and they have IgG allergy to wheat and they have a complement protein that's showing up for it, I'm like, you got to stop all the gluten, all the wheat, all the things. We know that it's going to be a really severe response, and we're going to get really great responses if we pull that out. So if someone is not able to access these tests or has the budget for it or work with a practitioner, they could also do an elimination diet, which is going to be a little bit harder. And you have to make sure that you're waiting 5 or more days before reintroducing each food. I see that gone wrong a lot too. People go, yeah, well, I did an elimination diet. I stopped eating like 20 different foods and, you know, I felt better, but then I started eating them again and all my problems came back. Like, well, first of all, you didn't fix your leaky gut, so your problem's still there. Second of all, we don't even know which one was causing the problem because you just dumped them all back in at once. You have to go really, really slow. So elimination diets are fantastic, but you have to have patience and you have to be a good symptom tracker, and you have to really pay attention to what you're doing throughout it. But either route that you go, whether you're testing or you're doing an elimination diet or anything, you have to fix that leaky gut or you're just going to have those problems all over again. So what we like to do with people is whichever route they're taking, we remove the foods that we think they need to be removing. And then we go in and we heal the gut. So we put back those bricks. We put back that mortar. We seal everything up and we let it all die down. We let those angry little antibodies and all of their little instruction notes that they're passing around, we let them all die off. We let them all calm down, which takes anywhere between 3 and 12 months, depending on how severe your reactions are and how severe your leaky gut is and how overactivated your immune system is. So we take those things out. We heal everything back up. And then when you get the foods back, you should be able to keep them. You shouldn't have these reactions going forward. If you do a good job healing your leaky gut, you should be able to have these foods back. So it doesn't need to be a forever thing. And I think that's important to note too, because it feels really restrictive when people are thinking about, oh my gosh, I don't want to give up this food or that food, my favorite foods. It doesn't have to be forever. If you do it right and you heal your leaky gut, you can have those foods back.
I think that, I hope you guys understood the power of that. Like, basically what she's saying is if you heal your leaky gut, you're healing your food sensitivities and even allergies. In fact, one of my mentors, this was about a decade ago, she worked with one of my good friends from college. He had anaphylaxis to like five things: fish, chocolate, nuts, seeds. I think there was one more thing. I mean, I can't even imagine how debilitating that would be, right? Like, he couldn't go out to eat. It created anxiety with his spouse. And it was just a very, what was the word you use? Restricted. Like, you just felt so restricted. And she worked with him for about, it was about 2 years. And keep in mind, he was anaphylactic to five different foods. For over the course of 2 years, healing his gut, specifically addressing leaky gut, rebuilding his mitochondria, all of that, he is not anaphylactic or allergic to anything anymore. Now, while he is still hesitant from an emotional standpoint, you can imagine growing up with that, you're like still a little nervous. So I just hope you guys understand, like, what she's saying is heal your gut, heal your food allergies. Then you can start eating and be patient. It takes time and it will require you to remove those foods. But here's what I want to ask you, because I think this is where, as humans, we can get a little lazy, or let's say they're a mom like you or me, where they have all of the health issues, their kids are fine, and they're like, eh, I'm not, it's just food allergies, I'm not going to go to the work. What can happen if they don't address it? Like, what ultimately can become of what we call a leaky gut? What can it turn into?
Yeah, that's a great question. So many things. I see hormonal imbalances that we can trace back to a leaky gut. I see nutrient deficiencies, which that can cause anything. If you don't have the nutrients in your body, your thyroid might not function properly. Your metabolism can slow down. Your hair can start falling out. Those hormonal imbalances can start. And then one of the more insidious ones is autoimmune disease. So studies show that 100% of people with autoimmune disease have leaky gut. That doesn't mean that 100% of people with leaky gut will develop autoimmune disease, but it does mean that that is a key factor in the development of autoimmune disease. So I'm trained in the autoimmune protocol as a certified AAP coach, and we were taught that there are a few key elements that go into developing autoimmune disease. One is a genetic predisposition. Another one is leaky gut. And then the final one is some form of a trigger. So that trigger can be different for everyone. It could be stress. It could be pregnancy. It could be viruses. Viruses is a huge trigger as well. We're now seeing data that's linking MS to Epstein-Barr virus, also known as mono. And everyone gets mono. So everyone, when that study came out, started freaking out, going, oh my gosh, I had mono. Am I going to get MS? And no, it's not a one-to-one correlation with any of this, but there's these key factors that build. And leaky gut, we know, is one of the key factors to then developing autoimmune disease. And that goes back to what you mentioned before, with so much of your immune system lives in your gut. And when we have that opening in that brick lining and we're just bombarding our immune system with all of these things it's not used to handling, it goes haywire. It gets confused. It gets out of control. We also have molecular mimicry that is part of that. So your thyroid looks an awful lot like gluten. So we see gluten being a huge trigger for the development of Hashimoto's disease in people that, again, first they need the leaky gut, they need there to be that exposure, and then they're eating the gluten and their body is creating antibodies towards the gluten. Oops, your thyroid looks the same. We now made antibodies towards your thyroid, and then you can go on to develop Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So autoimmune disease for me is kind of one of the biggest factors that I want people to be aware of. And that might be because I work with a really large population of autoimmune disease patients. And so that's just kind of top of mind for me of that can lead to that. And that's something we want to fix before it gets there if possible. But also the good news in that, similarly to what I was saying, where you can heal your food sensitivities, you can reverse your autoimmune disease as well. My registered dietitian that works for me in KB Wellness had Graves' disease. And they told her the only thing you can do for that is to remove your thyroid or you're going to die. And she was like, well, I know about food and nutrition. Let me look into this a little bit. And she wasn't a holistic dietitian at the time. She was working in a hospital setting, but she just something in her, similarly to me with my story, went, wait, hold on, let me look into this myself. She found the autoimmune protocol. She started researching it. She started doing it on herself. And voila, her Graves' disease disappeared. Through that, she had to heal her leaky gut. She had to change her nutrition. She had to change her stress levels. And then she also found her trigger. So she knows now ashwagandha is an herb that for her is triggering for her Graves. And so she was able to figure that out. And so if she does take ashwagandha, her Graves symptoms will start to return. But as long as she's avoiding that trigger and keeping her gut healthy and having good nutrition, it's been completely gone for a decade now. She never needed her thyroid removed. She doesn't have any medications that she has to take. She's completely healed. And that's how I found her and why I hired her, because we were in the same graduating class of the AIP certification. And I have my story, and that fuels me to be really passionate about working with people and you know, coming from a place where I really, truly care. And I knew she would be that same way. So I asked her to come and work with me with our clients. And she's equally as passionate as I am about really getting people good results and helping empower them and show them the power of nutrition and how you can actually reverse all of your symptoms if you just go in the right order and you do the right things.
Wow. That's such a cool story. I think too, one of the things that, you know, people listening to realize is all of this is inflammation in the body, right? Like just this low level of inflammation of food constantly slipping out of your gut into your bloodstream. And that can be a precursor to all the things she said and cancer. And, you know, when we talk about, as she's explaining healing leaky gut and getting to the bottom of it and, you know, how do we get, or I should say, let's take it a step further, like healing your food allergies means healing your leaky gut. And with cancer, we always talk about, you didn't just get cancer because you were deficient in chemo and radiation surgery. Mm-hmm. There's an underlying cause. And what's interesting with all the things you just said, Kristen, was the dormant viruses, the inflammation, poor bacteria in the gut from leaky gut, autoimmune disease. These are also all precursors to cancer, mm-hmm. and can often be the trigger for a diagnosis, right? So when you think of if you're going through cancer or if you are wanting to prevent cancer, this is a really important step, is to heal your gut. And with, you know, with cancer, for example, I've been talking a lot lately and studying the mitochondria. It's so fascinating to me. We have to make sure our immune system, which includes the mitochondria, is functioning well. But as she wrote out, kind of illustrated that description of a brick wall protecting your immune system. If there's bricks missing and mortar missing, that's not a very strong wall. So your immune system is going to suffer. Yep. And so that would be the other thing I would say is like, please understand the importance of this with all of those things. And this needs to be addressed while going through and especially post-treatment of cancer.
Many cancer parents wish there was more they could do to help their child thrive through their diagnosis. They're sick of dealing with the side effects from treatment, low ANC, and unplanned hospital stays, not to mention having to often resort to the Band-Aids that are currently offered, but they don't always work. At best, they provide temporary results that sadly rarely last. Although I'm now the go-to expert for many cancer families, it took my own journey with my son to learn how to help families thrive today. And oddly enough, what I learned and put into action was so counterintuitive that I didn't mention to anyone at first what I was doing. I thought I'd be ridiculed because it was different. It challenged convention, but it worked. Finally, my community of cancer parents had a simple and proven method to help their child thrive without extra medication, without forcing their child to eat something they didn't want to, without interfering with doctors' protocols or breaking the bank. I call it the Thrive Through Cancer formula. And if you'd like to see how it works and why it's more effective than most options out there, then I invite you to watch a brand new online training where I show you exactly how my clients have achieved lasting results following this unique process. You can watch it by going to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Inside, I'll share the leading cause of our kids feeling unwell during and after treatment and what we can do about it. I'll share why cancer parents who want to enhance their child's quality of life should avoid keeping their child in a sterile environment. There's a much more powerful and natural way to help support their child's immune system. I'll share the unexpected reason why kids with cancer have a hard time avoiding inpatient stays and how to change it. So much more will be shared in this webinar, and you've already taken the first step by just listening to this. So please take the next step and watch the free training today. Go to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Now back to our show.
So if we are wanting to step into this, so let's say somebody listening and they're thinking, okay, so what would be, you know, I want to address, I know I have leaky gut. I have some of these symptoms. I have some of these underlying issues she's mentioned. What are some of the things that you would right away recommend that somebody did? You did already say elimination diet. So let's actually start there. What are the top foods you would recommend eliminating?
Gluten and dairy are the absolute top ones. And then I would closely follow that with grains if possible. Grains are tricky for people to give up after giving up gluten because they want, that's easy carbs, is grains and gluten. So we got to switch from those over to carb sources like sweet potatoes and squash and berries and apples. And there's plenty of other carb sources, but it's not top of mind for most people. Top of mind is going to be, you know, grabbing for tortilla chips or bread for sandwiches and things like that. So you have to make that mindset shift if you are going to tackle going grain free. But grains can be really irritating to the gut. They can keep the gut really leaky, and they have phytonutrients that are, or anti-nutrients, where they're blocking the absorption of some of the nutrients, which that further exacerbates everything. So I would remove gluten first, because Dr. Alessio Fasano out of Harvard a long time ago put out some really compelling data showing gluten increases intestinal permeability by triggering the release of zonulin. So zonulin is how we will measure leaky gut. And so gluten is just going to keep triggering that zonulin, keep opening up that leaky gut. I remember in school getting my master's, they showed us a video that Dr. Alessio Fasano's lab had put out where they're looking at enterocytes, which is your gut wall, those bricks, under a microscope, and they put like gluten antigens in there. And it was like the parting of the Red Sea. Like you just saw the gut open up, and it's like, okay, it's undeniable. So Dr. Alessio Fasano has done really great work around this to prove that gluten can cause leaky gut. And because that's one of those things where a lot of doctors will say that's quackery and that's pseudoscience and leaky gut's not real and gluten doesn't do anything. But I mean, Dr. Fasano has put out undeniable work in that realm. So if you just, you know, read a little bit of his research, you'll see that gluten is, in my opinion, one of the first things that should go if you're trying to heal your gut, and then dairy, and then grains come after that. And then we have top allergens too.
Let me ask you a quick question about the gluten thing, because I know this will come up. Mm-hmm. So with somebody that's consuming fermented sourdough, would you still say if they're healing their gut, they need to still eliminate that?
Yep. I'm so glad you asked that question. Yes. And because you've been asked it and I've been asked it, but it's sourdough. I don't care. It's still gluten. Yeah. And you can try it out later. Like I said, you want to heal your gut and then try it out and see how it goes. But when you're healing your gut, you want to take out everything that's going to make it hard to heal. I mean, why would you want to make it harder for yourself while you're doing it? So take out everything that makes it harder, let it all calm down, and then go ahead and try your sourdough and see how it goes, see how you feel later on. But yeah, in the gut healing phase, I would remove even the sourdough.
Yeah. Okay. I know that. Yeah. We get that question often.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and of course, once you heal, that's really the only way you should consume gluten is properly prepared fermented sourdough.
Yep.
Okay. So we've talked about the, eliminating the kind of some of the more trigger foods in the beginning or problematic foods. What would be some other things that you would say that somebody could start doing to help with the healing process?
Yeah. So another one would be working on stress, because stress can cause leaky gut as well. and improving your sleep, and then taking a look at your exercise. So this is one that not a lot of people think about. And when we think about, you know, really popular exercises right now, we have CrossFit, Orange Theory, Peloton, and I'm not saying any of those are bad, but when you're trying to heal your gut, those are not doing you any favors, because high intensity interval training or high endurance training have both been shown to contribute to leaky gut. I work with NBA players. They have the leakiest guts known to man. And it is what it is to a certain extent. You know, we're doing everything we can to mitigate it. We're running food sensitivity tests. We're using all these beautiful supplements to try to heal it and everything, but they can't just, you know, take some time off of their exercise. That's their literal job. But for the rest of us that's not our job, we can switch to a little bit towards yoga, Pilates, walking, and just take a break from that really high intense training. Again, like taking a break from the sourdough to just let everything heal up and calm down. And then you can sprinkle that type of exercise back in. So sleep, stress, HIIT exercise, food, and then there's some supplements that can be helpful that you can start adding in, some gut healing supplements, some microbiome rebalancing, things like that as well.
So one of the things that people would probably assume right off the top is a probiotic. So what about, is that something they should right away start on? Is that going to even be helpful if this is a symptom, or if they assume that they're dealing with a leaky gut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probiotics can definitely be helpful if you're deficient in gut bacteria. I'm a huge fan of testing. So when clients come to work with me, we're going to run a test and we're going to see what are you deficient in? And then we're going to recommend that exact probiotic. Because if you're not deficient in lactobacillus, you don't need to take lactobacillus. But if you are deficient in bifidobacteria, great. We're going to give you bifidobacteria. So I'm super partial towards testing and then implementing strategically. However, again, if that's not in someone's budget or in their access, then I would recommend just taking kind of a broad spectrum probiotic. There's a couple different approaches to that. One is a blend of like lacto and bifido strains, which that's super easy to find. Most kind of easy to grab probiotics are going to have that blend. And then the other type is a spore-based probiotic, which I also really like that for leaky gut. Microbiome Labs makes Megaspore. I like that one a lot. And one of the reasons why probiotics can help heal your gut is they help you produce something called short-chain fatty acids. Butyrate especially is one of the short-chain fatty acids. And think about that as helping to glue your gut back together. So we need those short-chain fatty acids. Those are going to feed the bacteria. They're going to help put the gut back together. We really need that. And these good bacteria make it for us. But if we don't have enough of them, if we have an absence of good bacteria due to antibiotics, chemotherapy, glyphosate, anything else, then we're going to need to replenish that with probiotics so that we have enough of these nice little healthy guys in there that can help us heal our gut and help us make those short chain fatty acids like butyrate.
That brings up a question. One of the things that I've always understood is that bone broth, drinking a really good quality bone broth, will also help kind of act as a sealant. Would you say that's correct?
Yes. Yes. Bone broth is also top of my list for everyone, for everything, including leaky gut. I think I recommend bone broth to everyone. Dr. Kate is a big fan of bone broth. It has proline and glycine and all these really great kind of glue-like healing factors. They're going to help you put anything in your body back together. Going back to that story in the beginning, my husband's injury, he was going to have a surgery called Tommy John surgery, where they take a ligament from your leg and put it into your elbow, because he had detached the ulna collateral ligament from his elbow. And that can be career ending. So instead, we did bone broth and nutrition and PRP and all these natural things. And I made him drink like 4 cups of bone broth a day, every day for 2 months straight. And it worked. It glued his arm back together. Wow. He never had another injury after that. It literally readhered the ulnar collateral ligament to the bone. And he never had another elbow injury like moving forward. I was so worried when he started playing again, his arm was just going to fall off. I'm like, how can this work? But it did. So that's the power of bone broth for you, is it's absolutely healing. Incredible.
That's amazing. Wow. That's such a cool story. That's a great testament to bone broth. I love that.
Yeah.
Would you say one of the things, and this kind of is top of mind for you because of what you're walking through right now with your new house, which we had a great conversation before I hit record. Kristen is building they're moving into their new home in March, but they've been building for 3 years a non-toxic, sustainable home. And like she is going above and beyond, but that kind of brings up this idea that would you say removing toxins from your environment would also be helpful to stopping that assault on the gut?
Yeah, definitely. Number one would be removing toxins from anything that you're ingesting. So that's going organic with food, staying away from things sprayed with glyphosate and Roundup and things like that. And then a close second to that is anything in your home that you're breathing in or any of your products that you're putting on your body as well. I know these are things we've talked about as well. If you're putting on lotion every day and you're absorbing that and it's full of toxins are going to make your body generally not work as well. It's going to get in the way and bind to receptors and just kind of gunk everything up. So as much as we can remove toxins from our environment that we're breathing, that we're drinking, that we're eating, that we're putting on our body. So we're doing like no VOC paints, and we have a really high quality filtration system with high HEPA filters for our HVAC. And we are installing water filtration, so we're not drinking fluoride laden, chemically bleach-filled water from our city that, you know, they put in it what they put in it. So then you got to strip it out before you're drinking it. So there's chemicals absolutely everywhere. And The more you can remove, the better, without tipping yourself over into the land of being super stressed out about it, because then stress is going to make you sick anyway.
That's so true. It is for sure a fine line. And I think, yes. But that's what I love about what you've shared so far is it really is doable. Like you just start by removing the foods that you're, you know, well, first I would say the testing I think is essential. I do think that if you're listening right now, I want to say a couple of things. Number one, she mentioned antibiotics, and I know as cancer patients, especially pediatric cancer, antibiotics are part of the normal protocol. You have leaky gut if you've been on antibiotics. Like antibiotics can forever change the terrain of your gut. Yeah. And so you might be listening to this going, well, I don't know if I have it. Like, I don't have food allergies that I know of. You've been on antibiotics. You've been on any other medication. If you ever have inconsistent stools, like these are all symptoms and signs. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you to consider that that might be something you need to address. But the way, like she's mentioned, I think the different steps, I would say number one, working with somebody that knows what they're doing. Otherwise, it's like throwing poop at a wall and hoping something sticks, and it can cost you so much money. I mean, you and I both know we've done this. We've tried to figure things out over the years on our own. And as you were telling me with your house, even you finally hired somebody to help you know what to do and where to put things and what to look for. And so I would say working with somebody to have the right testing done. And I love what you shared in the beginning about the allergy tests, like. That is so, it's so much easier to be able to not have to make an appointment with an allergy doctor, go through the testing for only for it to not be effective when you can, well, for you, meet with you over virtually, have the testing, I'm assuming, shipped to their house, correct?
Yep.
So talk a little bit about, there is a package. I'm actually really interested in doing this with you, with my whole family. I wanted you to share a little bit about your gut package, because I think this is, people are now thinking like, okay, definitely need to do this. I'm going to start drinking my bone broth. I'm going to stop eating gluten, but now what? Yeah. So explain that package a little bit.
Yeah. So our testing package, we start off with an intake call, and we're going to go deeper into your symptoms, your goals, your health history, your medical history. From there, we're able to select what's going to be the best test for you. Very often that's going to be a GI map gut test. We have, you know, other options available depending on kind of what comes out in this conversation, but most people need to start in the gut. Most people have either leaky gut, or they've taken antibiotics, or they have food sensitivities, or even things like joint pain and skin issues definitely point to the gut. So we start off on an intake call, and we go really deep into what is going on with you and what's going to be the most strategic test to figure out exactly what's happening so that we can design a customized protocol based on that. So once we figure out what tests we're going to run, we drop ship that to your door. The GI map is a stool test. Not the most fun, but you poop into a little tray and then you ship it off. Prepaid envelope, though, is easy peasy. So you just poop in a little thingy, scoop it in, you mail it off. That goes to the lab. They analyze it and they send us a very detailed report of everything going on in your gut. We can see, are there pathogenic bacteria? Are there pathogenic parasites or viruses? Or are there opportunistic bacteria, viruses, parasites? Do you have enough of the good commensal bacteria? So it tells us everything that's living in your gut. But then the last page to me is one of the most important pages because that's telling us the health of your gut. So it's really great to know what's living in there because then we can very strategically kill what needs to be killed and encourage what needs to be alive instead of wasting money taking the random probiotic that like helped your neighbor but doesn't help you. And you're frustrated and you're like, why did this fix their diarrhea and it made mine worse? You know, instead of doing that, we can figure out exactly what you need. But then that last page tells us, do you have steatocrit? Steatocrit is fatty floating stool. And if you do, that's going to point us at, ooh, we need to look at your liver and your gallbladder and support that because that's a sign that you're not breaking down your fat soluble vitamins. You're not absorbing them. Everything's going straight into the toilet. That's going to create a whole bunch of other problems with your immune system if you're not absorbing your A, D, E, and K. So we can see steatocrit. We can see beta glucuronidase, which is showing us if you have recirculating toxins in your system, which a lot of people that have gone through medical interventions and treatments like chemo and antibiotics and things like that do have high levels of toxins circulating. So then we know we need to really, really support your liver in that aspect. We can also see calprotectin. Calprotectin is the gold standard for diagnosing IBD. If it's 200 and above, you got to go see a gastroenterologist and look into Crohn's, colitis. If it's less than 200, but over 50, we still have a problem. You are inflamed inside of your gut lining. You have neutrophil infiltration, and we have to fix that so it doesn't progress to IBD, Crohn's, or colitis. We can see zonulin. How leaky is your gut? We can see anti-gliadin antibodies. How much does your body hate gluten? We can see that from there. There's so much data that we get throughout this entire test, but one of my favorites is that last page because that's telling me how healthy are you? How hard do you need to hit this to make sure you don't end up with a diagnosis later on that you really don't want? And so once we get those results, we combine that with our intake call, your symptoms, your goals, your health history, and we come up with a customized protocol for you. What foods are you going to eat and avoid? What supplements are you going to take and avoid? What lifestyle modifications are you going to make in your life? And we can deliver that to you on your second appointment where we go really deep and we help you understand it on a deeper level. My goal is not for people to just have test results that they don't know what they mean and they wander off confused. We spend a lot of time explaining to you, this is what this means. This is how this problem started. And this is how you're going to get out of it. This is how you're going to fix it. And then I also want them to walk away with tools of how can they maintain it? I do not like repeat customers. I don't want you to have to come back to me ever again. I have the worst business model ever. I want you to go away and never see me again because I want to fix you the first time. I want you to learn for your life. Are you the kind of person where, you know, your elastase runs super duper low and we know you might need digestive enzymes for life? Or does your elastase look good, but you just don't chew your food? And then we're like, okay, girl, you got to just chew your food, but you don't need this forever. Maybe you need probiotics forever. Maybe you don't. So I want to empower you to know how to move forward with life, how to maintain that, what to do if you do have to take antibiotics so you don't boomerang back around to a leaky gut, because there are things you can do when you take antibiotics to mitigate those effects as well. So you don't end up with this disastrous gut every single time, but you kind of have to get in there deep and fix it really good the first time. And then it's a lot easier to maintain moving forward. So that's what our testing package looks like. It's two appointments and one lab drop shipped to your home and a customized protocol. And I think it's a great way to really, and it's sometimes it seems expensive when you look at it as a whole, but it's really not when you realize how much money you're saving buying useless food allergy tests that don't tell you anything, taking probiotics that aren't right for you, going to doctors, paying copays where they just kind of shrug and tell you, you have IBS. Good luck with that. goodbye. It's we're going to actually get in there and fix it. So you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your money. It's much more worth it, in my opinion.
And, you know, we like not even to mention that the one of the best benefits of having your gut healed is you will get sick so much less. Yes. Like, you are able to fight off the common cold, the flus, yes, all the crazy diseases and illnesses that are coming your way because your immune system is now intact. It has the ability, it has strength, and it knows what to recognize. It's not tired from having to attack, yep, foods that you're eating that are leaking through your gut. It's,
yep, and gut bacteria. It's not distracted attacking, yes, the bad gut bacteria. This last like winter season, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've had so many people mention to me that I've been working with. Everyone I know is sick. My whole family is sick. My kids are sick. I'm not though. Oh, everyone I'm working with has been telling me they've been unusually healthy and everyone around them is sick. And I do feel like looking around, like a lot of people I know are sick, but not my clients, not the ones that we fix their gut health. They're not getting sick because like you said, their immune system is doing what it is supposed to do. It is fighting off what it's supposed to fight off. It's not distracted by overgrowth of bad bacteria or food sensitivities. It's alert. It's on point. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yes, absolutely. And that is like the best gift. That's what we all are aiming for. Kristen, I know we're going to link all of her links in the show notes, but if somebody's just listening and they want to go to your website, what link would you like them to visit first?
KristenBlakeWellness.com is a great place to start, my main website. And then there's a tab on the top right that says work with me. And then from there, you can kind of go into the drop-down menu and look through some of the different options. I'm super active on Instagram too. So if you need to just kind of like reach out and be like, I can't find the link or anything, you can always DM me and we can help direct you from there as well.
And your Instagram is just at Kristen Blake, correct?
Or at Kristen Blake Wellness.
Okay, same. Awesome.
Yep. Yep.
This has been so good. I feel like I learned more. You even threw out some words on the testing. I was like, I didn't know about that. I gotta learn more about this, but this has been so helpful. Before we go, I want to ask you, I love to ask this to my guests. What is something that has been inspiring you lately?
I tried to think of a really deep answer for this, but don't have one. It's coming back to the gut again. I can't help it. I am obsessed with this podcast called The Turd Nerds.
That's so good.
Gut health and poop. And it's three doctors, one of which I have sent some of my patients to. She's in Oregon. And so if I have someone that needs in-person care, like rectal ozone or IV therapy, I've sent them to her, Dr. Ileana Groyevich. And so I've known of her for a long time and she came out with this podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's super nerdy, but it goes really deep into everything with the gut. And it's just so fun to listen to these three nerdy girls nerd out on poop stuff. It's the best. I've been loving it lately.
Great. I don't know about you, but my kids have always, ever since they were little, they called me the poop inspector in the house. Because when they were little, I'd be like, I need to see your poop. I don't ask anymore. It's more terrifying now that they're teenagers.
Now I ask them, how's your poop? Do you need more magnesium or less? Are you good?
Yes, exactly. Like, let them tell you. But that's so great. I'm totally going to look for that. We'll link that podcast in the show notes as well. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you, Kristen. I hope you guys go find her. She, like I said, you want to follow her on Instagram. You want to find her website. Work with her if you need some gut healing. I would trust her with my family. And again, as you just heard today, she's a wealth of knowledge. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I really appreciated it.
Okay, friends, when was the last time you bit into a juicy burger or a perfectly cooked steak and thought to yourself, man, this is the best thing you've ever tasted? I imagine it's been a while, probably because most meat products are conventionally raised, which not only affects the flavor profile, but it really diminishes the beneficial nutrients and minerals. And believe it or not, even products that are labeled grass-fed or quote ethically raised to make you think they're higher quality are often finished on grain or in factory farms.
This is why I'm so freaking excited to share something with you today that will not only help you avoid the hormones and antibiotics, pesticide residues that actually totally change the taste, but also the health of the meat. But guess what? You could also save nearly $1,000 over the next year on your grocery bill. And the best part? This may be the best tasting thing you have had in a long time. Okay, so what am I referring to? Well, I'm talking about Wild Pastures Meat Delivery. They provide the highest quality meats, get this, from all small regenerative family-run farms here in the U.S. that prioritize sustainability and animal welfare. Their beef is 100% grass-fed. Their pork and poultry are pasture-raised, something you won't find anywhere in grocery stores, resulting in meats that are not only healthier for you, but also better for the environment. And one of the reasons why our family loves Wild Pastures is that we can opt out of supporting harmful conventional farming practices and instead support small family-run farms without spending a fortune. Guess what, though? The convenience doesn't stop there. They offer delivery straight to your door, so you can enjoy delicious, high-quality meats without ever leaving your house. No matter where you are in the 48 states, Wild Pastures has you covered. Not only is this the most convenient way to get your meat products, but Wild Pasture meats are better for you, as I mentioned, nutritionally. You've learned a lot about that on this podcast. You've got way higher phytonutrient content, antioxidants, fatty acids, vitamins, minerals, proteins, and amino acids. Here's the deal. Today, for a limited time, you can get 20% off every box, plus free shipping for a lifetime and $15 off your first box. Just simply go to bit.ly/seasonwildpastures. That's bit.ly/seasonwildpastures. Now, if you're interested, don't wait because this deal won't last forever. And you guys, I am obsessed. Think ButcherBox, but about 100 times better as far as farming practices, organic standards, and flavor. This is our new favorite, and I am so excited for you to try Wild Pastures meats.